welcome, everybody. We got a new segment today here, a show that's going to perhaps alternate in this slot here. Normally it's Choice TV Radio, but we've had one of the past guests, and he's going to start adding some segments here. We're going to call it The Wrap. Pleased to bring in Steve Cedarquist. He is from Cornerstone Properties, and he's also, you'll recognize him as one, the contractor on the famous show Flip or Flop. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Thank you.
So what propelled you to do this? I mean, you guys have got a lot in the works here. Do I hear that there might be another TV series in the workings or working on other shows, other sorts of things here?
We are. We're actually in production right now for a new show that we're going to be marketing, working with Choice TV Productions, and we're putting it together now.
What, so this would be another reality type of show where they'll follow you around and do something? Or?
Yeah, you know, I know that John's listening right now, so
don't say anything.
I can't say the name. The concept is just something that hasn't really been touched upon, okay. You know, like HGTV type of things.
Right.
And we're really excited about it, actually. We think it's going to do really well, and we think we're going to get picked up, like, immediately.
Well, so, I know he's been shooting the pilot for you. Off air, he tells me a lot about it here, so.
Oh, you probably know more than me.
Exactly. So today, you decided to stop in and, is this like a rap, like we're rap stars, we're going to rap, or is this like wrap it up?
No, you and I are going to rap. We're going to start rapping right now, actually. And
I don't know if I'm a good rapper.
I brought my backup singer, Maria, here, and she's going to be rapping with us.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think so. Good luck.
And just interesting topic. My goal was to come out here and just bring in diverse people from just different segments of the community.
Right.
And see what's going on and kind of wrap it up and see what's going on in their lives. And
so tell us about Cornerstone Properties. For those that didn't hear the earlier episode where you were on Choice TV Radio here, tell us about your core business and the kind of people that you're working with.
Well, we're a general electrical and plumbing contractor, and we are based in Huntington Beach, California.
Mm-hmm.
We employ about 26 people. We currently have, you know, like 15 projects going on. Most of them are remodels, half are flips. Mm-hmm. We do flips for ourselves.
Is that market still solid? Is that still going strong, this idea? Because obviously housing has gone crazy again here in the last few years in Orange County. There's some projections. We do a real estate show and some others that it ain't going anywhere. It's not going to go south. This is kind of a permanent state of being here in Orange County, high home pricing. So is there still a flip market in Orange County here?
There is a flip market, actually, more so in higher value homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the old $200,000 homes are a thing of the past.
Right.
What myself, Tarek, and you know other people do is they, you know, we're looking in $2-3 million homes,
mm-hmm.
and there's better margins there. But we've ventured out. We're in Nevada now. We're actually in just outside of Reno. We're chasing industry out there, and there's a great market out there. So if anybody,
I hear other places, Texas, San Antonio, maybe Florida again. Even had somebody on our real estate show talking about Pittsburgh or places like that. You know, under thought of markets here, or even maybe Detroit, which just seems like it's cratered back there. But there's some people willing to try that. Are you seeing any of that around other parts of the country too?
Yeah, we've been invited. Actually, we're going to be doing a special project here. Hopefully, we're in talks with Bravo. We're going to build a ranch in Austin, Texas. Our friend has an adoption agency out there. It's for sexually and physically abused children.
Mm-hmm. Cause I'm very near and dear to my heart. I adopted a little girl from Mexico. She was 10 at the time, and she had been, I won't go into detail, but she'd been through a lot of abuse, then come here and fallen into foster care, and we adopted her, and she's my daughter now, so.
Oh, that's amazing. And that's what we want to do. We want to help out. So we've been asked to join up with this special project in Austin. And it's dear to my heart, too. And I want to be part of it. So we're working with Dr. James Mercer, who just wrote a book, Crimes and Shame, and The Oprah Diaries. Great book. Going to be New York Times bestseller.
Was he on John's show or somebody? He was on somebody's show. He was on John's show. It was an amazing story. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. And we really like him. And we've become friends. And we're going to go back to Austin and get this project underway here in the next couple months.
As I recall the interview, he was suffering the most severe neglect, abuse, whatever that can imaginable, somewhere in a small town in Texas, I think. And he used to literally watch Oprah. Oprah was the only sort of outside influence he had. And he started writing letters to Oprah, you know, just as sort of a way to work through some of these issues. Like, Oprah, you seem to know everything. You seem to have a godlike persona on TV here. Can you help me? Oprah, for him, was a healer.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it just kind of leads into why Maria's here. You know, she runs a nonprofit called Miracles. And she's an amazing person and a good friend of mine. I brought her in today so she can
welcome.
Tell us.
Welcome. Tell us. Introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
You know, it's interesting that the topic that you were talking about, because the reason Miracles was founded was because of what happened to me as a child. I was molested by five of my uncles from the age of memory until I was about 11 years old.
Oh, my God.
So a lot of times...
Five of your uncles.
Five of my uncles.
Oh,
uh-huh.
My God. Wow.
You know, but sometimes people ask me, you know, evil people, you know, they knew better. People that don't know better don't do better. Mm-hmm. I mean, it truly is, because if they knew the damage that it causes, they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. If they knew what it had done, they wouldn't do it. But, you know, God can always turn into something that was bad, turn it into good. Miracles is an organization that is based on biblical principles. What we have done is that when people look at me, they think, well, you're not going to get anything. what do you know about anything? You know, so once they hear my testimony, and once they hear, that I've been sober for over five years, and, you know, my whole testimony, then they're like, well, if you can get over that, then you can definitely.
So you just threw that in quickly and casually here. So I'm assuming that being abused by multiple family members led to some pretty dark days in your part, and you sounds like you addressed it with alcohol or other sorts of things.
You know, it actually boils down to the root of the cause is usually an absent father crisis syndrome. And usually the reason it all started is because when I moved to California from Texas, I got plugged in with the whole concept of the father absent crisis, and I didn't really understand the concept. And
I've never heard of that really described. That. Well, you give us some overview of what that is, because I'm thinking of my daughter's own case. She was living in a little village in Mexico, and there was no father involved. There never had been a father. The father was either unknown or disappeared or whatever, and so she was living with her grandmother. And her mother had taken off, too, so her grandmother's there. There was a grandpa. There was other sorts of people. But, there was definitely an absent father in that scenario. So what is that syndrome? I don't understand it.
The father absent crisis means that just in the United States alone, we spend about $112 billion a year.
$112 billion
a year in taxpayers' money, because we're trying to take care of our children, who most of the time become adults. You know, if we make it
right, that's a good way to put it. Most of the time, it takes a while to become an adult. Yeah.
Well, you know, some of like for me, I have two professional suicides under my belt. So for me,
my goodness.
Well, you know, but it's also part of the father crisis syndrome. Those of us that grew up without a biological father or a physical father or both, mm-hmm. we're more likely to become sexually molested, become more victims of abuse as adults. We're more likely to abuse drugs, to abuse alcohol, to be suicidal, suffer from depression. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
Just from an absent father.
Well, I mean, you guys are critical.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are the foundation of the family. You know, if you look at how the United States is doing, without getting political, ask anybody who's having trouble, most of us have in common the lack of a father, whether it was physically or emotionally or both. There's so many research that has been done to prove that those of us who grew up without a father end up costing society so much money.
Wow.
So the reason that Miracles got so involved with not children but adults is because, you know, there's so many people that are wanting to help children, that are mm-hmm. wanting to help youth, that are wanting to help kids.
Clearly.
However...
Because there's an assumption, that we saw this in the foster care system, there's an assumption that past a certain point, you can't be helped. Right?
Well, and obviously...
I mean, isn't that out there? You know, everybody wants a baby, because I don't want the 10-year-old screwed-up kid here.
Yeah. Exactly. And those of us that are, you know, not necessarily...
I took the 10-year-old screwed-up kid. What do I know? But
exactly.
No, she wasn't screwed up.
Well, you know, but we are, and that's the beautiful thing. We have it's called the slight edge. We can go slight edge one way, or we can go slight edge, you know, down the road. I'm very blessed when, you know, I've spoken at a prison of men that were very, very troubled men, and the only difference between me and them is that I didn't get caught. The only difference between well, I mean, it's true.
Oh, wow.
You know,
you just dropped these bombs one after another here.
Who are we sitting here with?
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna let Steve take over the rest of this one.
I don't know. I'm a little scared now.
Well, you know, but I did turn my life around. I did turn my life to Christ, and, you know, all is good.
That's good. Absolutely. Truth and forgiveness. That's awesome. No, that's good. So tell us a little bit more about what the plans are with Miracles. What's going on? What's the big plans here? I know that you've mentioned to me some things.
Well, I know that in the second segment, we're going to have Marcella come and talk a little bit more about some of the other things that we're doing. But right now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that today is actually our five-year anniversary.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
5 years.
5 years.
It went by so fast, probably, right? You just look at the clock and you're like, wow, it's been 5 years.
It's the blink of an eye, honestly speaking. When you're doing something that you're passionate about, when you're doing something that...
That's the key, isn't it? It's passion. Right?
It is. It's just, you know, and because I do want to address your question, the comment that you made, because for us, when it comes down to helping adults, most people, they have compassion for children, they have compassion for youth, they have compassion for teens, and even for animals.
That's right.
When it comes...
There's a lot of people trying to save animals. I think, and my wife and
I'm one
my
of them.
Mother, yeah, I'm one of them too,
oh,
I
yeah.
hate to admit it.
I got one home in my bed right now.
See, there you
yeah,
go.
I've never owned a dog in my life.
Because they're so fragile. Somebody's got to stand up for children, animals. Well, there's nobody. They can't stand up for themselves. And somehow adults, you think, well, at some point you stand up for yourself.
But see, that's the reality. The really sad reality is that all of us that are adults, most of us are hurting inside like children. And if there's no one else that comes alongside of us and holds our hand, and I've been so incredibly blessed that I've had so many angels come alongside of me and really walk with me, held my hand, train me, mentor me, teach me.
And you mean that literally?
Yeah.
You mean that like a physical presence that you can feel?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I mean, no, God sent a whole army of people. I needed that much help, and He knew that. You know, but it was one of those things that because I know what it is to be an adult and to be expected to know better.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is to not be able to get help, because by the time that I got to know the effects of me growing up with that biological father, I thought that I should have known better. And I looked at the past and I was like, if someone had told me that I was going to be prone to having these issues, then I wouldn't have done them. So with Miracles, Steve, back to what you were asking, is like what Miracles has set out to do is that we want to go alongside of adults, you know, men and women that are hurting, that are struggling, that are heartbroken, not necessarily because of romantic issues, but because heartbroken about life. You know, there's so many people right now, especially with the economy being the way that it is, that they have been unemployable now, you know, and when Marcella comes in, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about, loving the unhirable, because we're at a crisis
loving
now.
Loving the unhirable. You
yes.
just keep coming up with
yeah,
these
well,
things there.
Well, you know, Paul, you know how it goes is when the issues that we have is people lost their full-time jobs, you know, and when they lost their full-time jobs, they weren't able to get back into the workplace like you're talking about, Maria, and now they had to settle for part-time jobs, and it did work on a lot of their psyches. Am I true in saying so?
Yes.
So what do you do to overcome that? I mean, like when someone comes at you and they feel so broken and they feel so distraught, you know, because, I mean, it does. You're right. It probably does work on their psyche. They went from probably a good paying job. They were working 40 hours. They felt needed, wanted, and now they're working, not to disparage anybody working at a fast food, but maybe that's what they had to take, maybe, or maybe they couldn't even find a job.
You know, what's amazing about the question that you're asking is that people come to us and it boils down to very simple things. There was a study done many years ago that children that were against the wall, they were actually more likely to die and not make it than the children that were closer to the windows, because they were having a sense of being touched and being loved with words. Where the children that were against the wall, they were not being touched and they were not being told that they were loved. So when the adults come to us, the main thing that we do initially is to really tell them that we love them, because we do. It's not just a matter of saying how much we love them, but actually physically touch them. You know, because a lot of these people, you know, like we have our amazing student, John. We call our clients our students. And John is a 58-year-old man who has never been married, has no children. And what happened to him that he lost his parents and he moved from New York to California. And when he moved here, he basically lost his sense of will to just care for himself. So because he lost his sense of will, he stopped doing basic hygiene and lost his teeth. So if you lose your teeth, you're less likely to smile. So then all this, you know, is this domino effect that you know, it's one after another, one after
sure.
another. And so when he came to us, it was one of those things that he hadn't been said, "I love you," by anybody in years. if you can begin to imagine what it would feel like not having someone give you a hug, as simple as that is, not have someone come to you and look into your eyes and say, I love you, it's so significant. But when you're dealing with adults, people think, who cares?
Can I give you another strange example just from my own life?
I would
here?
Love another strange example. I'm one of those.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know if it's going to be that strange.
You said the bar pretty high.
I said the wrong strange.
Well, you know, Paul set the bar pretty high.
Strange. I shouldn't use the word strange. All right. Now I'm blushing. Okay. As I said, we adopted a girl who had fallen into foster care. She had grown up without a father and a lot of people and horrible abuse and things happened down in Mexico. Comes in illegally, falls into foster care in East L.A., couldn't even speak the language. She's 10, and suddenly she's in foster homes and trying to figure this all out, and suffered for many years through foster care. So when we met her, she had fallen into foster care about 8. We met her, she was about 10, and we adopted her at 11. And that's my daughter, Vanessa. And we talk about this all the time, so I'm not saying anything that she wouldn't say, oh, Dad, don't say this. But one of the things that struck me the hardest, I'm a good Irish Catholic. I grew up in a white, upper-middle-class neighborhood back in the Midwest. I didn't see any of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure bad things were happening, but it wasn't everywhere type mm-hmm. of stuff. Or if it was, it certainly wasn't very visible. We got to know her, we fell in love, and we adopted her. And one of the strongest, most difficult things she's had to struggle with her whole life is two things. One, she has trouble picturing time. Because she was surviving day to day. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me about tomorrow.
Yeah.
A week from now, a month from now. So she'll forget. I'll say, remember, that's in 3 weeks. And she'll like, oh, yeah. And she'll write it down. But 3 weeks is still hard for her to picture.
Well, do you find a lot of that, Maria? And we're joined, actually, by Marcella.
Hi there.
Hey, you made it.
I made it.
You made it.
Hello.
And Marcella's
she's doing... a little sweaty. She had to, like, run up the stairs.
She is.
We told her there was no elevator. So she ran up the stairs. Should we get her a tissue?
Something.
So, I mean, you're in this part of the segment, so what do you...
Introduce yourself, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you?
Absolutely. So I'm Marcella Owen, and I'm one of the board members and volunteers. I pretty much wear different hats, and I'm ready to work wherever I'm needed.
She has three of them right now here.
She does. Do you guys see that a lot with even adults and stuff like that? And
give you the other example that I always quote. This one's even harder for me to imagine. I can sort of get that she can't picture tomorrow and she's forgetful about time. This one's really hard for me to wrap my head around, and I think we've been trying to work on this effort since we met her, since we adopted her. She never had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Up until age 10,
mm-hmm.
I mean, she had kids she was sort of friendly with, maybe that for a minute she'd play with or something, but she didn't, when she lived in Mexico, she was either locked up or she was out in the fields working.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came to foster care, she bounced and bounced, and they're not mm-hmm. making friends. The kids come and go every day, every week or something here. I mean, Steve, can you imagine you never had a friend? You're 10 years old? That's just mind-boggling to me.
I didn't have friends, Paul. No, I'm just kidding.
You were lonely.
We moved a lot. I went through a lot of the same things.
Did you?
I went broken family. We moved a lot. We were moving every 6 months. And,
wow.
And a lot of stuff. And you're right. It is hard. As a child, you need to be grounded. I didn't grow up with a father in the family and the whole nine yards,
wow,
so I can relate
thing.
A lot.
Wow,
yeah. So listening to all you guys, it's kind of the root of all my issues. Like we're having this conversation.
Yeah, could be.
You know, we could do a live session right now.
We probably should.
So should we lay them out on the couch here?
No, actually, we don't need
an expert on that.
No laying on the couch.
So how do you? All right. So give us. Let's do it. Let's walk through that. Maybe I don't know if Steve wants to be the volunteer, but how do you?
We're volunteering.
Did you see how he's red? He's like, wait a second, I didn't sign up for this.
Folks, I'm being volunteered here. So a lot may come out. Don't judge me.
Yeah,
right. I'll give you my tissue now.
Yeah. Nice.
So do you have sort of a session to get this out in the open? First of all, how do people find you? I'm sure you're going to give your website, and you should, but how do they stumble upon you?
Well, before we forget to give our website, Marcella, would you like to do the honors?
Oh, sure. It's miracleswithak.org.
M-I-R-A-K-L-E-S.
miracles.org.
Okay.
Yeah, like K for a king, because we're a Christian organization.
Oh, okay. Right.
Is that why I know you guys changed it from a C to a K. Is that why? Because, you know,
there's an actual reason. I usually do a reason for everything. It was actually because miracles with a C was no longer available.
You could have done something a little more, you know.
And then we came up with something philosophical.
Yeah.
I liked it better. Yeah, you could have embellished and gone on.
Well, I could have, but, you know, somebody's watching all the time. time.
That's
and
true.
I always
That's
have to watch
true.
Out for mm. him. He doesn't mess around.
He doesn't put up with the
I'm
lies.
His girl, so I have to watch out.
Very true.
He's a she? Is he a she? Or has God a she?
Oh, no, he's a he.
He's a he, okay.
But, you know, that's my world, you know. Yeah, that's the only one that I can look out for.
Okay. All right, so miracleswithak.org. Uh-huh. Other than that, how do people just walk in the door? Do they? Is it a miracle that they find you?
Well, I think it's a myriad of things. We tend to go where people are already gathering, so other organizations that have people that need help. So.
I'm thinking of the mall or something.
It's a little bit more involved than the mall. Like Friendship Shelter is one of the organizations that we've worked with in Laguna Beach, Boys and Girls Club.
So they identify people at risk, and then they put you in touch with them or connect
you. So we let them know what our programs are and what we're working on. And so Maria had a lot of workshops that she's done in the past. And based on our experience, we're seeing that one-on-one coaching and mentoring is more effective, and there's more of a need of that. So we are doing that right now.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a group. It's not group therapy type of thing as much as
it's
one-on-one.
Not exactly. It's really more coaching and mentoring.
Do you guys ever find, I'm just curious, I mean, because in the secular world, do you have a problem with that ever where people are like, hey, you know, we know, you know, you're a Christian, but don't public. No,
yeah, right.
Be quiet
yeah.
about that. That's right. I mean, do you get that a lot, or do you guys just say, well, you know, here it is. So we come as we are, and that's how we are.
You know what I love to say, what we'd love to say is that we don't check Christian IDs. And most of them are fake anyway.
Ooh, I like that.
She came
Very
up with that
true.
I like that
I like
a lot.
Lot
scared,
right?
The takeaway.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of fake Christian IDs, you know, and sometimes
so
my own ID, you know, could be fake sometimes. It's not, it isn't. It's the real deal, but.
We're
you know.
All human, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We all fall
oh,
short.
Oh, wait a second. I thought I was superhuman.
I'm beginning to think you're. You certainly have superhuman phrases. You're dropping one after another.
I know, right?
That one I'm not going to forget. Don't check Christian IDs because they're fake anyway.
Yeah, well, some of them. You know, not all of them, but some of them, yeah.
All right, so you come in, somebody finds you, God leads you to somebody, an angel walks over and says, here's somebody. I mean, maybe it's really working. I'm a good Irish Catholic. I still have trouble in believing, like, really in angels and all that stuff.
You're looking at two.
See?
This has been a move. This has been an eye-opening experience.
It has.
You are.
I'm really, really learning something.
Watch, they're
going
to fly out of the room here.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt at this moment they could do anything they want to do.
You know, actually, it's interesting that you say that, Steve, but on a serious tone, like, I would love for Marcella to talk about Roberto. Or any one of our students that you have directly worked with, because when Marcella said she puts on every hat, she literally does that. So Rina, would you like to talk?
Yeah,
I think
sure.
We can. How much time do we have, Paul?
We got a lot of time for hats and everything. Yeah, well, no, we got another. Well, we got 30 more minutes for 25 more minutes for the show here, and you got one more guest coming.
One more guest coming in. Yeah.
So probably a couple minutes, five minutes.
So I'd love to mention something because
we'll
of my background. So I'm a banker. I work for Wells Fargo Bank, and they have this amazing.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yes. You want to talk about it?
Wells Fargo.
I've been there for 25 years, and they have this amazing opportunity to work in your community as a volunteer.
They do. My wife works for a competitive bank. I won't name that one.
And they
do the same thing, yes.
So I had the opportunity to apply for a volunteer leave, and it's anywhere from 3 days to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was awarded 9 weeks. So I've been working with Maria now for almost 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I have 6 more weeks,
cool.
and I'm going to be volunteering. So I just want to give kudos to Wells Fargo for that, because they're very into the community.
All right, they went back up again.
Here. Yes. Yay.
They're doing good things.
Absolutely.
All right, so you came in and you were going to talk about one of these examples.
So I'm working with Roberto today. And
you don't say it with quite the... trill, the flourish that she says. She goes, I can't even do it.
Roberto?
Yes.
Oh, should I say it in Spanish? Okay. So I've been working with Roberto.
Oh,
is that good? Okay.
Love that.
Did I pass?
That.
Okay.
That sounds so cool. Doesn't that sound cool,
Steve? It makes his name sound so much more
yes.
like...
Roberto. Right. Suddenly I perk up. I'm listening. If it's just Robert, I'm not going to listen to Robert's story, but Roberto, I might listen to.
So he's someone that is willing and able to work, but has had some physical issues, and he needs some type of work. So we've been able to design a role for him to help with different tasks within the organization, and I've been working side by side with him for the last 3 weeks.
So you guys put him to work. You guys
yes,
find something.
Yes, and he's consider a senior citizen, and so there are some limitations.
Why is she looking at me when she says that?
Why is she looking at
me? I don't want to say put Steve in there.
You guys don't look older than 35, so we're good.
Well, you know why? That's because I use Nerium. So.
That's why. And thank you to our sponsor.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Nerium International.
I've been working with him, and it entails a whole lot of different things, from corporate etiquette to how to use the internet to how to post different things online and social media.
I've read things in the past. I know we're going to go over a little bit here, but I've read things in the past that say that one of the problems many people, homeless people, have, or even just poor people of any ethnicity, is that they may have no work history at all or work example. They were on the street. They came from welfare, where welfare was the common thing. So the idea of getting up and being there, I mean, they say, okay, I've got to be there on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Do you really have to be there Monday morning at 9 o'clock?
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a whole restriction, and because we are short of time, I would love for us to have an opportunity for Marcella to talk about the Loving the Unhireable project. Would you like
to?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Let's mention that, and then we'll build this, because we're going to do this more often. We'll have you come back and
expand
upon this. Right?
Absolutely.
I think I would, absolutely. This is going to be.
We've just teased you a little bit.
I don't want to get
back to the comment that I made before, the strange, and then start down that one.
Wait, I'm waiting to be evaluated, and it's not going to happen in this segment.
Exactly.
You guys are going to have to tune in next week.
When
we're back, and I'm probably
the construction guy's being evaluated.
The construction guy's being evaluated.
That'd really be fascinating to hear. You know, one time we had somebody come in and give me a massage, and that was really bizarre because I'm sort of Midwestern. Don't touch me.
Oh,
give me a
need
massage.
Your space.
I need my space.
Yeah.
And they were doing it, and it was very nice, but it was kind of odd to be doing it in front of however many people are listening.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
A little odd there. So now we're gonna have Steve come back and be assessed.
I have no problem with that. Whatever I can do. I learned a long time ago, you're green, you're growing, you're ripe, you're dead.
Oh, I like it. Well, you guys are just whipping them out,
right?
I know.
I'm in good company.
You are.
Yeah, these girls are great.
All right, so you mentioned this thing, then we're going to have to break it off.
Sure, absolutely.
Get our next
guest. Loving the Unhireable, it's a new program that we're bringing on board. I'm sort of spearheading the program that will entail hiring 10 people that are either underserved or unhireable in terms of either being homeless or perhaps having some kind of record or being older and having a hard time finding employment. And we're going to create different roles and put them in the right area so they can thrive and succeed with what they're doing and put it all together. So we're really, really excited.
How do you get funded for all this? Is this all just
That's
donate?
A great question.
That's a great question.
<Yeah.
here. laughs> The money.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
You know, there's actually a lot of means to raise funds for something like this. So it's a new project that we're just launching. So we're going to tell you at a later time how we're going to do funding. But one of the ways that we're going to be doing the first round of funding is by crowdfunding.
Done lots of shows on crowdfunding. People can contribute and make them feel good.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And see things take off. Yeah,
well, how can people get a hold of you right now? I mean, before we meet next time, is there any way they can reach out to you guys, and if they're interested in either donating or being part of your cause?
Yes. The fastest way to do it is to go on our website, and there's a place to donate directly. Again, it's Miracles with a K. .org, or they can call us directly at 949-813-3584. The number again, 949-813-3584. Or they can also email us at hope@miracles.org.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming out today, and I would like to have you guys out for another segment. Obviously, we got a lot
It'll
more to continue.
It'll cost you,
I know, right?
Absolutely. Are we going to have to contribute?
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much
for inviting me.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no problem, you guys.
Great being here.
Okay,
take care. We'll be right back after the word from some of our sponsors.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. with 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers. For over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge, with the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days, all with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
Let's face it, not all company challenges are the same, which is why Strategic Market Intelligence can help identify the actionable information you need to be more competitive. Gain a better understanding of your brand, competition, best prospects, or new product opportunities to generate greater revenues in 2015. Call 949-357-9547 or visit www.strategicmarketintelligence.com.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
All right, we're back, and we've changed guests in the blink of an eye.
Woohoo!
It was. I think they both floated out of it.
Floated out. That was an amazing thing. You know, one thing we forgot to do, I was struggling to fill a couple of commercials while we were getting everybody switched in and out. We forgot to mention your other sponsor. Who's your other sponsor?
Nerium International.
That's it? That's all you want to say? You're using the product or something?
I am. I've been using it now for the past about a month and a half.
What is it?
It's skincare. It's anti-aging. I mean, I use the eye serum and the night and day cream. And the other formula, it's a secret formula. It's like these supplement pills you take. It's EHT. And I'm telling you, it has changed my life. And I tell my friends about it. They think I'm trying to sell them something. I'm like, dude, I'm not selling you anything. Just try them. I'm a contractor. I don't know anything about skincare.
You know? When your last two guests were in here, they mentioned something about senior citizens, and they both looked at me. They didn't look at you, so it must work.
It does work. I'll give you some chance bottles later.
I need some desperately. All right, well, who you got with you now?
I have Christy. Christy.
Woo!
Christy's here. Christy made the long trip all the way, got caught in traffic. She went to the wrong building, and they ran upstairs, and they ran back downstairs, because I think I probably gave them the wrong address to be here. But Christy is on a show on, it's on the network. What network is it on?
Lifetime.
Lifetime. We love Lifetime, which Lifetime is part of the whole
A&E.
It's all part of HGTV's whole thing, right?
A&E.
If I remember.
It's under the A&E networks.
Yeah, I think, because I think HGTV, when I met the owners of HGTV.
Cover.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same, we're both reality people.
You guys are such insiders. You're all on.
We're
talking about inside television. We don't know. We just turned the channel on. We've all seen Lifetime, and we've all seen you on what show? What?
Little Women LA.
There you go.
You know what's funny? It was when I was telling everybody today that you were going to be on the show. It was my assistant. She looked over at me. She goes, kick her in the leg. I go, why? She goes, because she made me mad the last episode. I don't know what you did.
Oh.
We'll have to reach out to her and find out.
Okay.
But isn't that funny how people take this seriously? So they see you in an episode,
they
and
do.
You got to... You know, they come up to you and say, why did you do that?
Because they think reality is reality.
Yeah. Right? I believe until you believe everything you see on the internet. And I get the same thing. I understand. So we get along because it's...
So do they, when they see you on Flip or Flop, do they walk up and say, they not just say hi because they recognize you, but then they start talking about some episode and they literally say, why did you do this? Or how did you do that? What were you thinking?
What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that a lot. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? And, you know, yeah, same thing. Share with us some of your experiences.
Yeah, what were they thinking when they said that to you, right?
Well, we have like six women, and we're all alpha females. So you get like six alpha females together, and we spend like a substantial amount of time. There's going to be fighting, and that's what makes reality TV.
Right.
You know, good fighting.
Got to have drama. Drama means conflict, right?
Exactly, which brings in ratings. So.
Drama sells.
All right, so this is just between us.
You know, nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening. But just tell me, this is the number one question everybody has, is we've had people in from the Housewives and other shows. Do they really push you to do that? Is it all just come out in fact, or is it somewhat scripted? Are they sort of encouraging?
It's not scripted, but if you're in a space, a small space, for such amount of hours without food.
So they starve you.
They do. John, you're listening, and you know you've been starving me.
They give people that drink alcohol. I don't, but they do. And so it just becomes chaos.
Because they want to encourage something to happen. If you all just sat and stared at each other and read a magazine, there wouldn't be much of an episode. Yeah.
No,
they do that on The Bachelor. The Bachelor.
That's what I've heard,
They do. I know somebody who actually films for them. And they do. Before you see it all, they've already been drinking quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. She's absolutely right. You get the drama.
So if that's true, then do you say you don't drink, but do others then regret what comes out? Do they say, oh, geez,
oh, I can tell you I regret what comes out.
What was I thinking?
There are many times where I'm like, oh, crap, why did I just say that?
Yeah.
And it's in the heat of the moment. They're saying mean things to you. Then you say mean things back, and then you're like, what? You're driving home, and you're like, why did I say that?
Right.
I'm going to be reliving this for the next, maybe, season or two.
Because we all watch these shows. I hate to say it, it's a guilty pleasure. We all watch reality television. It wouldn't be continually growing if we didn't. And I see some of these people do some of these episodes, and everybody cringes, and you say, I can't believe they just did that or said that. But, of course, that's what they want to talk about.
Well, we're not scripted. We're not scripted. I mean, like, you know, Christy and I, we can both attest to this. It's like, it's really, we don't have a script. We don't walk in and they hand us something and
say, or an outline, say, we want you to go this direction today or whatever.
No, and they can drive you mad.
Yeah, you can get...
You can have the producers and the cast... And everybody, and it could be hot, and you can't find a bathroom, and you could be hungry, and low blood sugar happens, and bam-o, you got like...
So you got to be okay with that to put yourself out in this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be part of the deal, the buy-in, that you're going to have some moments that you're going to wish you could take back.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I personally love it. I love doing it. And it was, you know, we're doing a new show, so it's fun doing it. I mean, it's probably the best job in the world.
So what's fun about it?
I think it's the freedom to venture out on other things. Like when we go to events and help charities, I think that's like my biggest passion.
So it opens other doors for you here to do other things.
That's where we met.
Yeah.
We did the Avant-Garde, what's it called? The Avant-Garde, right?
Yeah.
Avant-Garde fashion show. And, and you know, we were talking about things where they starve us. They actually did starve us. Yeah.
They don't mean to. They're like, I'm like,
Press sure they do. They're trying to get some.
It said hors d'oeuvres.
Where is Crafty? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I need freaking Crafty now.
Yeah.
And they're like, they bring you chips. And you're like,
no, there wasn't even chips. It was pretzels.
It was pretzels.
Oh,
okay.
It wasn't. They were little Halloween bags, too.
And you just want to, like, throw it at them. Like, no.
So we live in a world where reality stars are seen and flock to and ask for autographs as much as what we used to think of as acting stars, music stars, whatever.
Yeah.
It's opened up a whole new realm of stardom.
Try going to Disneyland, being a dwarf on a reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not one of the characters.
I was going to say, I didn't want to go there, but yeah.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Go for it here, yeah. Right.
Nothing will stop her. She's awesome. On this, and before you were with Little Women LA, and you recognize a lot, did you feel that growing up, did you have a lot of issues with people giving you a hard time and, you know, just issues?
My parents are advertised. My whole family's advertised. And so ever since I was little, they said, here's a stool, here's barbecue tongs. Now, live your life. Like, you can use those to reach, and you can use the stool to reach things and climb onto. And so I'm a professional climber, and life is not easy for kids in school in general, so it wasn't easy for me. I can say I was stuck in lockers and thrown in trash cans. And
all of those images that you see in movies, that really happened to you.
It really happened to me, too. And the reality is that it happened, and it made me who I am today, which is a stronger person.
Mm-hmm. You know, you hear all the new campaigns about anti-bullying and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more awareness to it now.
Exactly.
You know, which is really a good thing. I think we've come...
Melania Trump, in her one speech before the election, that was what she says she's going to focus on as the first lady here, is cyberbullying.
And I think...
Which is ironic, given her husband's cyberbullying, but I just had to say that. But.
And I'll say this over and over again, because I talk to kids in schools, and I travel a lot, and I and I speak to these children and I say, it's so easy to get caught in that bully like circle, because you can be bully, and you could be anti-bully, and that one moment you just snap,
yeah,
and you can bully back, and you can't take that back. You can't take that.
Well, particularly because it's social media. It lives on. When I was a kid, I'm a senior citizen now. Yes, there were always mean kids. There was always bullies.
Mm-hmm.
But when you left, whew, they were gone. You know, you didn't have to see them till tomorrow.
Exactly.
Now they torment you morning, noon, and night, mm-hmm, through social media, and it lives on.
Absolutely.
Doesn't go away.
No, I remember as a kid growing up in Costa Mesa here, and I remember being pushed off the bus, and I ran home, and my stepdad at the time had pushed me back at the door, and he goes, you go outside and beat their butts. I go, really? And I went outside. And
that's the best answer you got, Dan.
It's too bad they didn't have it. Like, I'm glad they didn't have YouTube then, because of probably the way I was swinging and fighting. I think I probably looked more like a spaz, and the kids just left me alone after that. But, yeah, I know, and I can imagine it was hard, but you're right. It does shape us and make us into the people we are today.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's key. You know,
can I give you a different example?
Yeah,
since we're sharing here today, here, I'm 6'4". I've always been tall. In second grade, I was 5'2", I think, in second grade.
In second grade?
Second grade, because I remember, I was 5 feet in second grade, because there was one kid that was taller than I. That's why I always remember that number. In second grade, I was 5 feet tall. So I have never been in a fight in my entire life. It's not because I'm a tough dude. It's not because I'm a wonderful human being and nobody wants to beat the crap out of me. It's because I was always taller than every other kid in there. And I realized later on that saved me so much. And I'm sorry to talk about this. You've had the opposite issue here. Mm-hmm. So how you're born just suddenly leads to all these things that can happen in your life here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't read the script about what we're doing. Actually, Christy,
we're going to get in a fight here?
Yeah.
She's
taking
my
a guess.
She'd kick my ass.
Yeah. I told her you didn't like the show. She was on it.
I see. So, you know, I only say that because, not to make anybody feel bad, but just, I used to think like, oh, my God, I'd see kids getting bullied up, and I'd be like, thank you, God, why? And it wasn't until I realized later, it wasn't because I was tough or strong. I was just physically towered over.
Yeah, you look. Yeah, you were intimidating.
I was intimidated.
Yeah, people are intimidated. So, Christy, what's your plans now? What do you? What's going on with Little Women LA? Are you?
We are entering season 6 right now.
Did you ever think it would go that long?
No,
yeah.
I thought the pilot, and that was it. So it's been
season
crazy.
Season 6. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
Anything else? Any movies? Anything else you got going and planning?
It's kind of hard to do my SAG and AFTRA thing, a job, you know, because I've been doing that for a long time, too.
To what job?
SAG AFTRA.
Okay.
I've been acting since I was 19.
SAG AFTRA. You guys are such insiders. The Screen Actors Guild,
yes.
The American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. Okay.
Thank you.
And
so, you know, I have that on hold, but I always was in the real estate market also. And
my market.
Your market. Mm. So
you got to say it with a little more enthusiasm. You don't sound like you're
yeah,
very
like
enthused.
That. I always did that.
Well, there was that subprime market crash that killed me.
Oh.
So I'll give you a little bit of my thing. I went into acting at 19. I was going to be a doctor. Ended up pregnant, married, got the acting bug, went into the acting. You can't really make it completely in the acting. I couldn't.
Pretty hard.
So I had to find another job. I became a loan officer. I did loan officer jobs. I did processing jobs. I was a liaison. And then I went on to flipping.
So you're flipping houses?
I miss it. I miss that drive.
Mm.
And so when we were talking, I was like, I want to do another flip. That would be a dream of mine.
Maybe we could do a show together.
Yeah.
Would you be...
That
maybe,
would be cool.
If we... I know who... I have somebody who's listening right now who's an executive producer, John Marchese.
Mm.
And, you know...
Get the wheels moving here.
I'm getting the wheels moving. John, you're on notice now.
Ooh.
And what would you think about maybe doing something together? Maybe we could do like a little...
I would love to do that.
Be awesome, right?
I would love to get my feet wet again.
Okay.
I love it.
I like it.
I love it.
Okay, you said I could ask you anything, so I'm going too far here. Forgive me, but I don't know how to describe people who are short anymore. Is there a correct way to term
little person?
Little person, okay. 'Cause you said,
I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I'm a dwarf. That's right. That's the terminology. If you are a dwarf and you have a problem with it, then you know what? Go see a shrink.
Okay, because I know that, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Different terminology
Absolutely.
Has been used. All right, so I'm glad we got that. So is there a market for little people housing? I mean, is there, because I'm assuming that there are accommodations of most of the ages.
There are accommodations.
You look at Shaq's house, he's the opposite way. He has to have certain accommodations because he's so huge.
I think there's an accommodations for so many other, for everyone. Like, in, if someone's in a wheelchair, if someone
lost
a limb, like in the war, you know, being a little person, like, you know, creating a kitchen so we don't have to use stools. I mean, I've been into little people houses that have, you know, got their custom-made kitchen.
Right.
The problem is reselling your house. So if you're going to resell your house, you're going to have to tear down your...
Unless that's an opportunity.
Well, you'd probably want to... I agree with her. I mean, you're right. If you're going to live in that house forever, that'd be something you could do. But we're learning a lot about tiny houses right now. Everything's right size.
Right.
They're just smaller. Everything's more compact.
Right. And that's there's a whole movement towards tiny homes.
There's a huge movement around it. HGTV is following. They're working on it. Well, they have tiny houses, but they're working on a new... situation out in Reno, and that's where we're buying. We're doing a lot of stuff out in Reno area because we're chasing industry, and the houses are still affordable.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fascinating movie. Talk about that just for a second, because the idea is not just it's cheaper and you can't afford a bigger house, but people really, there's a certain number of people, mostly millennials, younger people, that say, I don't want to maintain something. I don't want to take care of it. I don't want to invest in it. I don't want to pay for it. I just want a place to crash and live in simplest space I can, because I'm going to travel. I'm going to do other things here.
Well, that's why, Chris, you probably know this, too. A lot of people, what they're doing now is converting, like, a lot of the buildings, like downtown, things like that. They're making them lofts because there's a huge market for it. And I agree. I mean, it's people don't want to have the yard maintenance.
It's a choice. There comes almost a challenge. Well, how tiny a space can I live in? And how simple can I make my life, as opposed to the notion I grew up in, you get one house and immediately want a bigger one.
Well, you know, it's funny, and Christy, it's funny because I do a lot of work in Newport and Laguna and stuff. And
big
it's funny.
Houses, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I go there during the day or the weekends and nobody's ever home. And they're like, why aren't they home? I go, well, they're too busy making their mortgage payment.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And there's no yard. And I mean, and they're just literally, I mean, it's just your average median price now is, what, $750 all the way up to $1.2 million?
Yes.
I love the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, how he explains, like, you know, do you want to work for your money, or do you want your money to work for you?
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to have that mentality.
And there's another phenomenon. We do a show on aging, and it's sponsored by a company. He's an interior designer. He got certified in aging in place because he was doing lots of work with hotels and homes. And as people are aging, they need different size toilets, different accommodations at the thing, if you want grandma to join you or you want to do it. And how do you make it so it doesn't look like an old folks home with bars and grab bars and other sorts of things? So, and the point I'm making is the aging baby boomer is suddenly realizing, I don't want the big space anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we're downsizing. Not because we have to. Because
we want to.
And then I'll take that, pull that some money out. Maybe that's going to fuel my retirement, or that's going to fuel my dreams.
Or maybe I want to put that money into an annuity then retire off of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So this whole notion has been upended where you start small in an apartment, you go to a condo, you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the notion is then that's where you finally stay. I think the whole thing is going
to
redefine.
You refinance because something happens to your kid, and then you're 80 years old still with a 30-year mortgage.
Although over in Irvine, they've got these developments. You probably know the name of it. I've forgotten. They've talked about it, where they're building grandma homes and other things because Chinese are coming over.
Yeah, the grandma flats and all that.
Right.
I still want to be in Laguna Beach, though, on the cliff.
On the cliff there?
And have a nice, you know.
Who doesn't?
You know, La Cantina or Fleetwood. Yes, I'm pushing out names here. My sponsors have just a panoramic view. You know, you walk out.
But would we ever go back to what they did in Seal Beach, these kind of literally tiny homes that are 30-foot lot lines? And would that suffice, or does anything on the beach have to be 10,000, 40,000 feet? And
oh, no, no. As long as I could open my door and get the breeze and, you know, put my surfboard on top and, you know, have fun. I'm all about it.
But you still have to deal with OSHA, and that's another problem.
That's true.
It's a whole other issue.
Because they don't chop the lots up like they did. In Seal Beach, you go up there, and there's literally 20-foot wide lots and 30-foot wide lots.
But you still have to get the okay with OSHA. They could be stinkers.
So OSHA being what, the safety and have, because you have to have certain doors?
Well, the Coastal Commission, anything to do on the coast, you have to go through the Coastal Commission. And that takes a little time. Very nice people, though, if they're listening.
We love them.
We love them. We love all inspectors. We love everybody. But what we'd like to do is, you know, I'd like to explore a little bit more of this, you know, about doing maybe a flip home with you.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, we just got done filming our pilot for our our show that we're...
Potential new show?
Potential. It's going to be more than potential.
I know, but we're just supposed to... John said make sure that it's just... Yeah, we set it up this way.
We have a lot of interest. So we're pretty excited, but no, let's definitely do something, you know, see what we can do. Let me ask you a quick question. How do people get a hold of you? Like, if they wanted to be on your fan page or do something...
Or they want to bring you to the charity, or they want you to come and be, you know, speaker at their school or whatever. How do people reach out to you? You must have a whole team now of people around
you. I know, right?
I do.
She's got her publicist right here.
I do have my publicist.
She's publicizing as we speak.
She is. Okay, I'm going to give you my at sign first.
Okay.
My at sign is at L-I-L Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, Rocks, R-O-C-K-S. That's my at sign.
Okay.
Nice.
So that will pull up all these social media tags and stuff.
And that should pull up.
Do you
want to
give out your publicist or anybody else? Who give us a contact. How do people reach you? Websites, contacts, anything like that? She's looking. She doesn't know. She has other people. Speak up. You can join us here. Give us some contact or whatever here.
Hi. You can contact me at Julie, J-U-L-I-E, at Blue, B-L-U, publicrelations.com.
Okay.
Thanks,
there you go.
Julie. I was having a
Julie was a
fart.
Savior there. You were stumbling there. You were like
I can't believe it. Everybody, usually we can't shut them up when we say, give us some contact. Here's my Twitter. Here's my Facebook. Here's my LinkedIn. Here's my phone number. Here's my address in Tahiti, whatever.
Well, Christy,
let someone else do it.
Yeah, we went through pain together. We were at that event with no food.
That scarred you.
Well, now I know, because now we do events. When they say, oh, we're going to have hors d'oeuvres. Like the other day, I went to a VIP event at The Voice. We had all backstage stuff and everything, and it was a great event, actually.
Oh, cool.
It was a really great event. But they said, well, we're going to have food. And we're like,
yeah,
you're going to have food.
Like,
and they didn't. Because we walked by
chips?
This tent. Yeah, nothing. We were like, we walked by one tent in the back of Universal lot, and they had all this food. I'm like, oh, heck yeah. And they're like, oh, no, this isn't for you guys.
That's for crew.
That was for crew, yeah.
I'm going to share some other insider
info. They
love
that.
I was a celebrity publicist back in the 80s for people you won't remember anymore. Joan Collins, Anthony Quinn, Jose Feliciano, a bunch of people like that. I was a celebrity press agent, publicist. And we used anywhere there was food, that's where I took my clients. Because they wanted food and I wanted food. Because you work all day and then you've got to go out at night
and
you're
starving.
Yes, exactly. So now today people laugh because I'll go to an event and the first thing I do is just run over and start eating all the food because I'm trained to do this because I'm going to be working. I better get it all, eat as fast as I can. And people laugh. Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
You hit a wall. You're like halfway through an event and you're like talking because your blood sugar just goes.
But you know, but that's okay. So when your executive producer has you filming all day, he brings lots of snacks and goodies, which is good.
All right.
Awesome.
All right, so how does everybody reach you guys as we wrap up here? Thank you so much for coming in here today, by the way.
No, we really appreciate it.
Pictures taken,
everything.
No, you guys are great. It all worked out good, and I'm really glad you came in, and I'm looking forward to possibly doing a flip with you.
Awesome.
Steve, how do they reach you if they want to? Other people want to flip with you here? Or find out about your shows or anything else? Give us your contact and all this stuff here.
You know what? They can reach us at cornerstonepropertyservices.com. And look at our wonderful work and our flips and all sorts of fun stuff. Or if they want to reach me directly, they can just go to steve@cornerstonepropertyservices.com. Or they can look me up on Facebook, just Steve Cedarquist.
Are you back filming again on the flip or flop here?
You know what? Tarek and I and Pete are in talks. So we'll see how that goes.
How many years is that? That's been on for a long time, too.
I did 3 seasons with them, and then I left. Because just got really busy and Izzy and I
because you got a real company and everything here too.
Well, that's true. And then Izzy and I are friends, so Izzy came back. So we kind of like Izzy leaves, I go back, and we kind of shuffle around a little bit. But well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what's in the future.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that there'll be more future episodes of The Wrap coming here in OC Talk Radio.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up here. We're wrapping it up here on The Wrap. New show we're trying to launch here on OC Talk Radio in conjunction with Choice TV. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.net.